106 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Text lines open 343-0106, 343-0106, as we've talked about all morning. Unrest around the nation and even here at home in Mobile yesterday, and lots to talk about with that. And joining us right now, it's former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And Jeff, you have a email out this morning calling for an end to politically correct responses to looting and violence. Thanks for joining us, and talk to us about this.
Well, it's so important. A lot of these city mayors and all who don't have a law enforcement background seem to think they can plead with their communities to not do bad things, not to rot, not to destroy property, not to hurt people, and they go on whining around and pleading for that. But they're talking to the good people in their community, the good African Americans. They're not doing this. For the most part, these are hardcore, either just total criminals and thugs. Many of them, though, are connected and led and directed directly or indirectly by Antifa-like, anarchist-like groups that just live for destruction and disorder. I mean, their whole goal is to destroy the society. They are not here to help us. They're not listening to the mayor. Give me a break. They don't want peace. They want to maintain their violence as long as they can, and those people just have to be confronted. But it's not easy. It's very, very tough on our police. Often our police are sent out there after some event like the George Floyd terrible tragedy. After that event, they're given weak leadership. They don't know what they can do. They just have to stand out there and be pummeled by rocks and urine and whatever else is thrown at them. And it's just a very, very bad thing. So we need to, it's real simple, really. But you have to be strong, and you just have to say the right thing. First, if this police officer did wrong, and it may and appears he did, he will be investigated and absolutely prosecuted. We will work hard to get our police officers trained at the very highest level to ensure this does not happen again. You're free to protest in our city and have marches and express your concern, but we will not tolerate looting, arson, abuses, attacks on civilians, and destruction of property. That's the message. That's the American message. That's what we all believe in. That's what we've been raised on. And they're afraid, it seems, to say it. And they just whine around about it like they're afraid they'll hurt somebody's feelings. But telling the truth and taking the principled approach is not abuse. It's the right thing to do. And when you don't do it, these things spread. They smell blood, these rioters do. They sense weakness when they see it. And they redouble their efforts. They call on allies to pour in from around the country, and you end up with disasters. We've now got real problems in Birmingham. I hate that. I thought maybe we would get past that. But once the police are outnumbered, Sean, it's really hard for them. So I think we need to use our task forces, these joint task forces where various sheriffs and police departments and federal agencies and state troopers all work together to prioritize crime threats, and they need to be able to bring in large numbers of people. Because if you're outnumbered, it's just the police just are not able to protect private property or individuals.
17 states now have brought National Guard to bear there. What do you say for Alabama? What do you say to states that aren't part of those 17?
Alabama and Jefferson, Birmingham, I believe, have got to ensure that they're outnumbered. They need to bring in superior numbers themselves. And if that requires the National Guard, they should ask for it, or the governor should send it. It's just that simple. And the way to have peace is to not let these mobs run amok. And you have to have a sufficient number of police to do that. And they are well trained for the most part. And although the New York PD explains today, the head guy there, They've done this for years. He said they're on bicycles. They raise bail money before the riots even start. They scout out the neighborhoods, and they bring medics in case somebody's hurt. This is a well-planned attack, really, on a community too often.
Now, you talk about those numbers and flooding the zone. What does that look like? I mean, at what level do the National Guard members step in, right? Because they're not police officers. Do they act with that same authority in that case? Or what can a National Guard officer do or not do in that situation?
Well, the National Guard, most of them, although there are some MP units, but most of them are there to support the police. I really do believe that you have to have numbers of police, and they have to be given encouragement. And when you say somebody's knocking a window out and they run and you chase them down and grab them and then there's a scuffle, then the policeman is going to get blamed for a violent arrest or excessive force, and he doesn't believe his city is going to back him up, then this whole thing starts on a downward spiral. You got to tell the police, we want you to stand firm. We want you to apprehend and arrest people, and then we've got to have prosecutors and judges who give a significant sentence. I mean, it cannot be that you can riot and destroy property and threaten the lives of people and so forth, the very operations of a city be destroyed and not be punished for it. It's not a $50 fine. People need to go to jail for this. It's no little matter, and it threatens the very order of our country.
How much of outside influence do you think is being brought to bear? I know it's different for different cities, different areas, but people questioning whether outside agitators are coming into this city, that city. Do you believe that that's happening with a great number of these places? And also, do you think it's organized, like Antifa?
Well, in New York, they say it is. They say 20% of the people they arrested are from out of area. And so what does that mean? I mean, 20% may not sound like a lot, but it is. I mean, these are people who are professionals. The New York guy, the intel guy that works at all these issues, he says that those people came in early. They planned the events. They had bail money that Joe Biden's staff all sent bail money to bail these thugs out. You remember that? Just the last few days. They contributed bail money. They were so proud of themselves to get Antifa thugs out of jail. But this is a mentality. This is a politically correct mentality that gets us into so much trouble. If we'll all just unify behind the concept that, yes, you can have a protest, yes, you can speak out, yes, you're right to assemble, and even with this virus, we've got to have some right to assemble, but you don't get to destroy property and injure people and shut down a great city or attack the White House and injure 60 Secret Service agents out doing their duty. The very idea that they have to put their lives on the line to protect the White House from these thugs, this mob, should be concerning to every single American. And what do you have? You have Joe Biden and his team sympathizing with the outlaws.
Put this into perspective for us, because I know my reaction to seeing what was going on around the White House, but your reaction, knowing what you know, the things that you know about Washington. What, through your eyes, how did that feel looking at that around the White House?
I had a vivid memory of the radicals, very similar to this group in many ways, that tried to take Vietnam protests and convert them into a revolution. They said they were going to shut down Washington, D.C., and they'd been disrupting cities all over America. Richard Nixon was president. He said, "You're not shutting down Washington. I'm calling out the 82nd Airborne." And they were very effective, and they ended that. They were never any way effective on that. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State at the time, later said this had all the earmarks of a revolution failed. I remember that quote very well because it did seem to mark the end of these riots. And that's what we need to do today. We need to stand up and say, you will not attack a federal courthouse in California and kill a federal security officer, shoot him dead, and then shoot another one, too, that has to go to the hospital. You have 60 officers injured defending the White House, Secret Service people defending the White House, injured. This is unbelievable. Police are being injured all over the country. Civilians are. Property is being defaced and flat-out destroyed. Valuable items looted. This is a threat to our whole American history of law and order and public decency and freedom, the right to speak and be safe in your communities. All of this is a core American freedom, and our police are on the front lines. And not, you got almost a million police officers in America. Out of a million young males, some of them not going to make a mistake. Does that justify destroying whole cities? No, you should aggressively prosecute any wrongdoing by any police officer, as we, I believe, do pretty consistently. And then we need to make sure that violence does not occur.
I want to get back to that last part, but I want to get your reaction here to the labeling Antifa as a terrorist group. They're going to be treated as domestic terrorists. What's that process of, is it executive branch? Does it have to go through the legislature to designate a group as a terrorist group?
No, I think the president can designate clearly foreign groups as terrorist mm-hmm. groups. He's been empowered to do that, is my recollection, by the Congress.
But
he's
domestic
added groups to that over the years as they arise. Attorney General Barr, I think, has said one thing that's certainly true. He has said we're going to treat these groups like terrorist groups for our investigation and prosecution by the FBI and the Department of Justice prosecutors. So he did not say, so some contend that the president cannot designate an American organized group as a terrorist group. I'm not prepared to give a final opinion on that.
Okay, so semantically this is important. What you're saying is the difference between designating as a domestic organization as a terrorist group versus treating them as terrorist.
Yeah, I think there is a difference there. It seems like to me Attorney General Barr is saying we're going to treat them like it. He did not say that we should or legally could designate them as a terrorist group. So I don't know, frankly. I'd have to research the law more carefully, but it's certainly a contested idea that an American group can be a terrorist group under that statute.
As we go back to the spark point on this and the death of George Floyd, and there with 8 minutes of a knee on the neck of George Floyd, you look at this story, and yes, that's an individual circumstance, but many protesters out there, not rioters or looters, but protesters saying that is horrible, but it is it's systemic. The issue is systemic in law enforcement. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that's not correct. You know, you get young people and they're confronting law enforcement officers and resistance occurs, and pretty soon it's a life or death struggle between the officer and the outlaw or presumed outlaw, and these things can deteriorate fast, and police officers have to make split second decisions. But look, I firmly believe and totally support several things. One is constant training of police officers to how to handle those kind of situations. That's the toughest thing they have to do, is to be able to subdue somebody who does not want to be subdued, and it can turn violent in a split second. Secondly, I do believe, and I think most of the great police departments certainly do this, and I think they do here in Mobile, they meet regularly with citizens to hear what they're concerned about, any problems that they have, and they take action. Thirdly, I do believe that some people aren't cut out to be a policeman. Some people can't handle the authority, or their temper is such that they can't take a provocation without reacting, perhaps overreacting. Those people do not need to be police officers. They may do well in 99 times, but on the 100th, they can't control themselves, and they should not be wearing that uniform. It embarrasses the whole department. And finally, day after day, week after week, year after year, police officers are out there on the streets showing patience, showing restraint, putting up with goofballs and people and mentally off, some of them potentially dangerous, working with resisting criminals, trying to protect shops and people, families from abusive husbands or boyfriends, children from sexual abuse. These are great, great people. And if we create a situation in which the police don't feel respected, they don't feel defended, they feel like they're asked to do a job but won't be protected and backed up when they do it, you're going to have a problem that's already out there, and that is too few people are signing up to be police officers today. And it's a great profession, a great profession. It's a service profession. It's a profession of strength and kindness and love and order and peacefulness. That's what they seek to advance. And so many great police officers have had fabulous careers, 30, 40 years without any kind of problem, and helped people in every kind of crisis situation. And they can put on their tombstone how many people, lives they probably saved during that career.
Jeff Sessions, before we finish up here, your sense on, we talked about outside influence in some of these cities. Do you think there's any international influence? Do you think there's influence coming? We've heard China and Russia in this discussion. What's your sense of that?
Well, we're hearing that. There absolutely has been evidence that that has occurred. And we know the lying communist in China who deny people all kinds of basic human rights. Those people are trying to make fun and exploit us because we have these groups. But our groups are basically, in my opinion, products of this great freedom that we have. And some of them are just abusing that freedom. And some of them do not believe in the American Constitutional Republic, where laws are passed and police try to make sure people comply with their laws and do it in a responsible way. We've got the greatest legal heritage in the history of the world. It's unbelievable when you travel, as I was, as part of the Armed Services Committee for so many years, to the difficult spots. I was in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was raised on British law. They're so proud of it. And that's why they're protesting, because they know that China, Beijing, is violating the agreement that they could have their legal system for at least 50 years, and that's being denied them, and they know no longer will they have constitutional human rights in courts in Hong Kong, but it will be they'll be dominated by the communists, totalitarians, secular, anti-religious, anti-human rights. Beijing will be governing Hong Kong. And they know, it's no little academic matter, they know what this means to them. And they are determined to resist and try to maintain that promise of at least 50 years of British law.
Jeff Sessions, thank you for your time this morning. And if people want to get more on your opinion here on bringing an end to the rioting and looting, where do they go?
Well, JeffSessions.com is where we're posting things. We're working hard for this campaign. My opponent does not get this. He's other things that are being revealed that show that he does not understand Alabama conservative values. So we want to take this message to the people, and you can be sure that I love our police officers. I made speeches in every corner of this country, 40 states, to sheriffs and police chiefs, and I told them, we have your backs, you have our thanks. We want the highest possible training for them. We want the best discipline these departments can have. They need to be properly compensated so we can hire good people. But if we don't do that, then these kind of things will be more real, and crime will start going back up again. There's just no doubt about it.
Jeff Sessions right here on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for your time. Be right back. At 8:30, FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton will talk to you when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. What a week, what a year so far. We got, the pandemics, nationwide protest, and on top of that, in some places, rioting and looting. You know, on top of the hurricane season starting today. Oh, yeah, I saw a video of some hordes of locusts.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that also does just happen. I mean, it's not. I'll take the locusts.
Is it December yet?
No.
Nowhere near it.
All right, be right back. Phone number. Y'all put this in your contacts, in your smartphone there. 343-0106 for FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk next.
A36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, coming to the phones in just a minute. First, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Don. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So, the very beginning of a brand new month, it is June. What kind of deals can we expect if we head over to McConnell?
Well, buddy, you know, we just want to say thank you to everybody out there that supported McConnell Automotive. And you know, Dalton, the main thing, it's been a tough time, and we're keeping people safe, but also saving them money. And I think the main thing we want people to do is just take advantage of the easiest shopping anywhere on the Gulf Coast. And if people are in the market for a used car, especially a new Buick or GMC, these 0% interest for 84 months, these are the kind of things we have for a couple more days. And we've got some inventory left. A lot of our competitors don't. So check out the trucks, everything we've got, buddy, and we're hoping everybody out there is just cruising towards a really healthy, happy summer.
All right, some good stuff. We appreciate it, Mitch.
All right, Dalton, you too, man.
That's Mitch McConnell. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
8:37, and go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, one of the things we're talking about this morning is what happened in Birmingham last night. Mm-hmm. As you have now nationally, you've had reporters that have gotten injured in these riots and this looting going on. This was in Birmingham. Listen to this. So, two people in this fray. I'm going to go ahead and run the audio here. Is that not the right cut? All right, we'll find the right cut here. I've got too many. I thought that was it, though. I think that. Let's go back here. Let's see if that is it.
We're getting attacked on camera. We're getting attacked.
Nobody!
Oh my God! That's our Madison under. Oh my God!
All right, a little bit of that's going on in Birmingham last night, and a reporter that had worked here for a while now with ABC 3340, Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stephen Quinn with ABC 3340.
He gets clocked with a bottle in the back of the head, mm-hmm. knocked to the ground, his wallet taken.
That's
and then,
right.
And then you hear Madison Underwood from AL.com.
Yeah, he kind of jumped. Squares up with the protesters, I would say, after Stephen Quinn is hit over the head with the bottle. And this Madison Underwood, he turns and knows that he's about to be in for a fight. And then the next scene you see in that video is Madison on the ground being kicked and punched by some of the rioters. I think the woman that was videoing that, Anna Beam, I believe, with AL Media Group, and Ivana Suzette, who's also with AL.com, was also involved in the fray. So media, not only, you know, some of these national stories that we're hearing from other cities where media have been, you know, a little too close to the action there. And that's their job, is to get in on the action. But with rioters in some cases, and other instances, the police that are trying to quell these riots with rubber bullets and the smoke grenades and things like that, the media is getting, you know, caught up in this. And a very close call last night for some of those reporters that were in Birmingham.
Of course, last night, you had, what, twice yesterday, you had tear gas deployed down there going on to I-10 on the on-ramp from NPD, and then right here across from the station in the northwest quadrant of the Airport 65 interchange. We put it in regular people language. Over there where Babies R Us is.
Mm-hmm. Which has been shut down for a while.
Yes.
Babies R Us.
And there's a lot of other things in that shopping center. That's just the biggest one. People would typecast me if I said where West Marine is. Get typecast on that. But over there, and so maybe it has happened. It's just not coming up in my memory. But I don't know that I remember twice in one day tear gas being deployed in the city of Mobile. I think that may be a first. And by the way, it looks like we have a heads up here that we will have Mayor Stimson joining us on Midday Mobile in the noon hour today. All right, to the phones. And John's in Somerdale. First up, hey, John.
Hey, good morning. I just don't understand, to save the life of me, why we do not have, when this something like this is going on, why we don't have several thousand National Guards ready deployed now, already in the city of Mobile, and definitely already in the city of Bay Minette, if that's already going to be one scheduled for Wednesday night or Wednesday. You know, Bay Minette probably don't have 10 cops. I mean, if they got that, I mean, I just don't understand what these people are. They're not protesting. There are probably protesters out there for
George Floyd,
the guy that got killed. That's
George
right,
Floyd.
George got killed, and it just don't make sense, because these agitators and rioters are just out for destruction and to hurt somebody, and while we don't have these our guys ready to go, it just, I mean, this is a war. This is actually a war right now on our country. Right now is what we're going through. In different cities, different parts of this country, and it's only going to get worse. And I'm surprised there's not more people that's done got killed from attacks, just like the news reporters last night in Birmingham. That's just crazy. I mean, they're like acting like animals. So I just think we ought to have the military involved immediately.
Right.
Y'all have a great morning. Love listening to you.
Thank you, John.
Thanks. And, at least five people to this point have been killed during these protests and violence, and in at least one case, a local business owner who it looks like was defending his business in downtown Omaha shot a protester, and I think we'll see some more of those stories.
He didn't shoot a protester, he shot a rioter.
Rioter, okay, thank you.
I think this is important to keep this designation, because I will stand, you know, as firm as I can for everybody's right to protest. That's our system. No matter what the issue would be, this one, I see it. I get it. You look at what happened with George Floyd. I mean, that video. I mean, if it's not gut wrenching to you, I don't know what is. So you look at that. But does that message? And what's the finish line on something? I always talk about this. What is the finish line? Is it an individual situation of a change in Minneapolis? Is it a change nationwide in how things are done? Where's the finish line? And how does that rioting or looting help you accomplish this? Because I think that drives people further apart than together. And I think, you know, you've seen some of the videos out there too, where folks are had enough of whether they're Antifa, I don't know, they're saying they're Antifa, coming in and basically taking a protest and turning it into these horrible scenes we've seen, and just beating people for defending their business. It's just sickening.
Yeah, what we're seeing is a lot of these protests start out peacefully, and there are a lot of Black Lives Matter protesters out there who are protesting peacefully, but I think there are a lot of anarchists that get in the mix, especially in some of these larger cities. And we were talking about the video earlier where you saw a member of maybe Antifa, I'm not sure who he was a member of, but a skinny white person who was at one of these protests, which it looked like the protest was for the most part peaceful, and he's got a hammer and he's breaking parts of the sidewalk, and the people who were there protesting peacefully grabbed him, took him over to the police,
delivered him.
Yeah, we've seen that in several areas, and then there have been law enforcement that have been injured in all these. We were talking earlier about the reports anywhere from 40 to 60. We've seen different reports of Secret Service members who have been injured in the nation's capital.
Those are tough people that are Secret Service agents.
And over 4,100 arrests at these protests across the nation. In Atlanta, you have a cop who was significantly injured after he was hit by an ATV in the protest in Atlanta. There have been at least 294 arrests there, and then that story in some of the big cities all across America. I think New York City right now has the most protesters that have been arrested. There have been nearly 1,000 if they haven't crossed that mark to this point.
There's Atlanta style. Let's bring us a four-wheeler out to the protest. Freddie in Mobile is up next. Hey, Freddie.
Yes, good morning. Sean, morning. Do you think, I've been reading Sunday's paper, that Jeff Sessions is trailing Mr. Tuberville and he won't win that runoff? Do you think he'll have in his heart to tell his people to vote for Doug Jones?
But would Jeff Sessions call on voting for the Democrat? I would say no.
I'm only saying that because that Republican Party has beat him to a tribute, and he did nothing wrong. He was just trying to... He was a man, a law enforcement man. He wanted to do what's right, and he's been branded as a traitor.
I've heard that. I don't think he would call for folks to vote for Doug Jones, but I hear what you're saying. But if you maybe put $5 on it, I would say no. I tell you what, we've got a lot of folks holding. Thanks for the call, Freddie. Got a lot of folks holding. We're going to a very quick news break here and coming right back to your calls. 343-0106. Hey, thank you, Kane. 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Dalton, and glad to have you all along. We'll check in with you at 343-0106. Looks like Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson joining us at noon today, or in the noon hour on Midday Mobile. Hopefully give you more details here shortly on that. And by the way, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, should the National Guard be called in? Should Governor Ivey call in National Guard here in Alabama? 17 other states have. Should she do it here? Vote online, front page of the website, fmtalk1065.com. You'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo. That's my buddy Trey. He and his crew doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. I know you've had more time at home lately to identify the junk. Well, take advantage of that identification and get it gone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Could be a storage unit, could be a house you're getting ready to sell, could be stuff outside the house, storage sheds, trampolines, swimming pool, whatever. Need to get rid of it? They can do it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment today by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK or going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, to the phones, and Gary in Mobile is first up. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have no doubt in my military mind that this is organized on some level, even here in Mobile. I went into Lowe's on Saturday afternoon, and I wasn't in there but a minute or two, and one thing they taught us in the military was something called situational awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell by looking at there was an abundance of people in there, by the way. And I'm not going to say that they were all black folk, but I could tell the people that were in there were out of place. They weren't in there to buy a box of drywall screws. They weren't in there to buy a paintbrush. They were just congregating and talking and looking at their phones, and I found it odd. Something was not right in the Lowe's. And then another thing I caught yesterday afternoon.
What were they doing in there? What were they?
Nothing. They were congregating in the front of the store.
Okay.
Not in the back where the merchandise is.
Okay.
And just in small groups chatting.
And this was Lowe's in Mobile?
Mobile Lowe's.
Okay.
Yeah, and then yesterday afternoon, about when that first broke, the chief of police was down there at Mardi Gras Park, or whatever that thing is called, downtown, right there by the Spotted Tea, whatever that park's called, I forget what it's called.
Cathedral Square.
Talking with, yeah, that. He was talking to some well-spoken, tall black man, and the guy was saying to the chief of police, you know, we want accountability and this, that, and the other thing, and that's fine. And the chief said something back to him, and his back was to the camera, so you couldn't hear what the chief said. But this guy he was talking to said, well, I'm not from here, but da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday, too.
Yeah.
The missus and I talked about that last night, that we heard a couple people say they weren't from here. But you're saying that you saw folks, or I wonder why they would go to the Lowe's. I don't know.
I don't know, but it was odd, and I could tell, you know, like it's 95 degrees outside, and someone walks in with a trench coat on. That's not right. Something's out of place there.
That's for sure. Gary, appreciate the call. Thank you, man. Let me run to, let's go to Robert in Mobile next. Hey, Robert.
Okay, Sean, how you all doing this morning?
Doing good. Hey, Robert.
Sean, the way I look at it, the whole thing could have been avoided. He had 18 complaints on him, and he only been on the force for 20 years.
Absolutely. What a record. I agree. Right. I mean, why was he still on the force? Until I see something else, I'm asking the same question.
He should have been doing administrative work or whatever.
No, he should have been off the force.
Like that.
No, Robert, he should have been off the force for those things. I mean, you ask the people in Minneapolis now if they would have thought it would have been a good idea to have him off the force. I guess their answer would be yes.
But they're going to have to police the rest of them, though.
Yes. You know, here's the thing, though. There's this officer, and now the other officers that were there, three others that have lost their job. I heard some people talking over the weekend that there were systemic issues inside the Minneapolis Police Department. I don't know that. That's for them to know in Minneapolis and to let us know. But also, at the same time, that police officers everywhere, and police officers of all skin color, are getting pelted and thrown at them and screamed at them without knowing what's in those men and women's hearts. That's a problem as well.
But the other part, too, is this, too, Sean. Two wrongs don't make a right. People don't have no business riding and looting out there. They should let the system work.
Yep, I agree with you, Robert. It should... I will stand and with anybody who's out for a peaceful protest. That's what our nation is about. But when it goes to destroying other people's property or hurting or killing people, my God in heaven.
Right. Okay, Sean, you all have a good one, man.
You too, Robert. Good to hear from you.
And you have there was a report this weekend that over the last 5 years, the Minneapolis Police Department has rendered people unconscious with neck restraints 44 times. They said they spoke with
You'd think several. Their attorneys would have shut that down with the city. You know what I'm saying?
You'd think so. And then watching that video where the officer was on with his knee on George Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, that's what they call a blood choke. And if you're familiar at all with, you know, mixed martial arts or anything like that, there's a couple different – there's a throat – like a choke where you keep people from breathing, right? Okay. You have their throat, their airway. There's also a blood choke where you have these on both sides of the neck, the carotid arteries, and you push that down and you limit – you know, the blood flow to the brain, eventually that renders someone unconscious. And you could tell clearly in that video that the officer, who's been moved yesterday alone, was moved to two different prisons in Minneapolis, and they now have him in
the
most secure prison they have there. So, and then all of those officers, even though he's the only one that was arrested, they said something about suicide watch for these officers as all this
can you imagine what they're
on.
Well, I mean, that's the question. If there was somebody standing right by and watching that happen, didn't do anything, I get it. Firing them, prosecute. If there's an officer halfway down the block, that's one of my questions, and they see that somebody's been detained, how much are they supposed to know how the detaining is going on? That's where we need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this lumping in that's going on all around the country where there's, you know, great men and women in law enforcement. They're getting screamed at and the objects thrown at and killed in some cases. It's a very sad, sad statement.
Yeah, but I agree. They need to look further into that officer's past complaints. We've seen the report. You know, we had 17 is what we thought on Friday for his complaints, and 18, we've heard 19, but only one time was he actually punished for any of those complaints.
All right. Let's go to Robert in Orange Beach. Robert, we got about a minute and a half.
Yes, sir. I'll make it quick. There's some issues that were on Fox TV that have disappeared from the news media everywhere. When this first happened, they actually reported that when he got up for them to take him away, he said, "I'm fine." And he was talking while that guy had his knee on his back, and he said he couldn't breathe, but you have to breathe to talk.
And he was having trouble breathing.
I'm not taking the policeman's side, but anybody that has watched Cops on TV, the show Cops, That's a standard operating procedure.
For 8 minutes?
Policemen.
For 8 minutes, Robert? For 8 minutes?
No, I've seen policemen with their knee on those people's
for
back.
For 8 minutes
neck
when he's handcuffed?
Hundreds of times. And I'm not taking that policeman's. But I'm telling you, that's probably part of the police training.
I've talked to two people in law enforcement since this has gone down, and they said, in fact, that's not protocol. That is not 8 minutes with your knee on the man is handcuffed. He said he couldn't breathe. Yes, and then he eventually went unconscious, and the knee stayed there on the neck. My gosh. 858 FM Talk 106.5. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. We'll talk to you all again at noon today for Midday Mobile.